Good morning, everyone. I believe the time has come for us to begin, and we just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here today. It's not as bright and cheery outside, but hopefully we feel good inside and are glad to be able to gather together again and to share the things of God. So again, we just want to extend our warm welcome to you. Glad that you're here. We want to take time to share together any announcements. I believe there are some there on the back of your bulletin. Anyone have anything else to add? Maxine?
I'd like to have a short ladies' aid meeting after church.
Okay.
Just a couple minutes.
Ladies' aid, and I'm assuming in the Sunday school room?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies' aid following church today. Bob?
Go ahead. I just want to let everyone know that the fire company is having their butchering on November the 20th. I had made copies. This is the meat form that's for sale. It's on the back bench. If you want one or want to order any of the meat, take one of those, fill it out, and give them a call. And you have to have the orders in by the 12th. November the 12th, they need all orders by. So if you need a slip, it's back there on the back bench. But the butchering is on the 20th of November.
Thank you, Jerry. And Bob?
When Nancy and Ronnie was cleaning up this past week, they found that it's just small. It's a little area that apparently slipped out of somebody. I think they found it up around the organ area, was it, Nancy? Oh, I don't know, but Ronnie must have found
it. Yeah, he found it.
But anyhow, I'll put it back here on the back bench. It's just a little one it goes in. I don't know. I guess the inside clip that holds it in place must have fell off and it come out. So.
Okay. If you're missing a piece,
yeah,
check it out.
That's why I walk lopsided. I'm missing a piece. But anyhow, November the 9th, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a council meeting here, if you would please. And I want to try to get this stuff done so we can. When Frank works up the directory, we've got current information in it. So, make yourselves available, and if you see someone, invite them or let them know that we are having it, because the more more that attend, the better it is to get all services corrected. November the 9th, Tuesday night, only a week or so away, and 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I see there in the back pew that there's lots of things that are coming in for the food bank, so thank you so much for that. Encourage you to bring in those items. We want to get them to them very shortly. Anyone have anything else, Deb?
I just have communication. I've had it for weeks, and I just keep forgetting. I'll post it on the backboard for those that may not be here. We did the backpacks. Well, we did the supplies for backpacks for the schools and the community, and this is a correspondence from Jennifer Harbaugh, who heads that up. She said, "Dear Rocky Ridge Church of the Brethren, thank you so much for your donations to the Catawba Community School Supply Drive. We gave 189 students in the Catawba Feeder School backpacks filled with supplies for this coming school year. We couldn't have done it without your support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart." So, we do great.
Praise God, yes. For our size, we're doing wonderful.
Brother Tracy, it's on the direct, or it's on the bulletin, but I'm just going to remind people, I do have the sheet back there for any changes to be made to the directory. Additions or corrections or deletions or whatever. So I just want to bring it to their attention so that we can get that taken care of. And so, as Bob said, once the council meeting and so forth has been completed and everything, all the data has been brought up to date, then we can process the making up of the
record. Thank you. And I also received communication from David Philpott. He's over in West Virginia, and he has cell number changed, and so it's he wanted me to let everyone know 304-907-2680, and so we'll have that posted on the bulletin board as well, but please keep him in your thoughts and prayers. And one more.
Please check your mailboxes back here, because Santa Claus, he came early and he left you some cards in there, so check your mailbox.
Okay, so you might have mail. Check your mail. Without further announcements, let's begin our worship, and we'll do so with this prelude.
Mm-hmm.
Victory in Jesus. Amen. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us do that as we stand and sing, and our first hymn is number 516. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come into your house today, your day, the Lord's day. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, and we ask your Holy Spirit to indeed be present and to move mightily in our time together, Lord. And so illuminate the scriptures for us, Father. Help us to sing your praises and to understand what it is that you'd have us to know for the week ahead. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to remain seated or to be seated, and we want to share together joys and concerns that we might want to add to the prayer list. What's on your hearts today?
I'd still like to keep my friend Velma. She is having some rough issues and going to have to go back for more surgery for the throat cancer she has.
Okay.
So I'd really like to keep her in prayer. I'd also like to keep the McLeaf family and the passing of Merle McLeaf from Mountain Gate. And keep them in prayer. And along with my
sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jerry. Others? Yes.
I'll continue. Ricky and Jenny and Alan and Al's on the prayer list. And Steve Worth and Larry Freed.
Thank you.
And Bob.
Thank you.
Yes, so Brad in the back. Bob, you want to go ahead? Did you have
one? Yeah, I just want to remember our son Larry, who continues to take chemo treatments and lift him up and care for him. And all our rest of the family that God has blessed us with, I can tell you.
Amen. Now, Brother Brad.
Yesterday was a monster in an airline. Wife and I will be married 45 years.
Praise God.
And I thank God for all his blessings. I really thank him for his faithfulness through the years.
Amen.
I have to give Meyer an award for 45 years.
That brings to my memory. We'll be celebrating 63 years. I don't know how Pat's done it, how she's put up with it, but she has.
On the Halloween.
That's on October the 31st. You know what date that is. Never forget it.
63. Congratulations. Well, praise God. I'm sure there's others that are on your hearts and minds, and so let's come to the Lord and lift them up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been a hectic week, and we're always rushing to do things and get chores done and accomplish so many different things that are on our agenda. But when it comes to prayer, Lord, we don't want to rush. Thank you, Father, for this chance to come before your presence. You give us the privilege, the grace, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. So, Lord, we're just mindful as we come into your presence who you are. You're the great King of the universe. You're the creator, sovereign. There is nothing that is too hard for you. And, Lord, we're mindful of the privilege that you give us to be a part of your family, children of God, not by anything that we've said or done, but because you have given us grace and mercy. You have extended your love to us. You have shown us what love is. And God, we're just mindful that there are so many people in the world today that are in need. You have shown us those that are in our families and in our homes that need our prayer. We pray for, Lord, those that are on our lists. Those that have been lifted up before, and we need to lift up again. We think about loved ones, family and friends. We think about church members. We think about those in the community. For those that are going through grief, who have lost loved ones, Lord, would you comfort? Would you provide and bring back to memory all those the good times, things that are important to hang on to and to share. We pray, Lord, that you're going through, help those who are going through very difficult things right now, maybe surgeries or treatments or various things, Lord, that are sapping their energy, making them sick in order to get well. And so, Lord, we pray you'd give them strength for today. Strength for the week ahead. God, we celebrate with those who are having special occasions coming up, and we rejoice in the commitment of those that have kept their marriage vows all these years. We pray, Father, that you would bless those who are having birthdays this month. We pray, Father, for our leaders. You asked us to lift up our leaders in prayer, our leaders in our churches, in our communities, political leaders, our president. Lord, we pray you would help them to make wise decisions. And so surround them, Lord, with good counselors who base their advice on your word. We know these are difficult times in which we live. There's so much going on in the world, from natural disasters and storms to the political upheavals in countries, the civil unrest in Myanmar, the civil war in Syria, the threat of Islamic control in the Middle East. Lord, the troubles in Africa, the difficulties in South America. Lord, we pray you would move in each situation. We ask, Father, for a hedge of protection around your people. Keep a strong wall of protection around your people wherever they are, in whatever country. We pray you would provide. Meet the needs, Lord, of those who are hungry. We have so much. We pray that they would have enough. We ask, Father, that you would move in our church. We realize the difficulties that we have had to endure through COVID. Lord, thank you for patience on everyone's part. We may not always understand or agree. We pray, Father, that you would just keep people safe. We ask for health, for wholeness. We pray, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in these times. Thank you for the message from David Jeremiah today. Encourage us to be in your word. And so, Lord, help us to dwell there in the week ahead. And as Ronnie challenged us to think your thoughts after you. We pray, Lord, you would move in the message today. Show us again anew from the life of Job and in the book that's recorded here. Lord, we pray for a good week ahead. We pray that you bring us back together again. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to turn to our hymn number 387. Please join me in standing. scripture reading for today comes from the end of the book of Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered in what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the ear, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. God, we ask that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our strength and a redeemer. You are our creator, and we give you thanks. Amen. You probably received, if you didn't, there might be a few more back there, but there's a little outline here on the book of Job. Should be an insert in your bulletin for today. You can refer to that later. It's autumn. Fall. Autumn. When you hear that word, what comes to your mind? What pictures or things do you think about when you hear the word autumn? I think of a valley in her glory with the rolling hills, ripe with hills, with the on the hills, the crops of the harvest ready to be brought in, the mountains ablaze with fall colors, the pumpkin patches that dot the roadside stands, giving a splash of orange, and the air crisp as the apples that are being harvested. For some in that valley, they might think of new ways and old ways, but for them, they live very much as they did 150, 200 years ago. Horse and buggies travel down the road, and old-time wheat sheaves are in the field, and corn shucks ready to be brought in. If you look at the valley from an artist's perspective, you might think it's a photo of New England. This quiet, peaceful Pennsylvania Valley has many blessings besides the scenic mountains. If one looks carefully, you can count many blessings, especially in the fall of the year. If you live there, you might not appreciate the view so much. We get used to the things that surround us. But it's a place that seems like times has stood still. The main landmark along the main road is a cemetery. There's not much to do in the valley. It's pretty quiet. Oh, sure, once a year there's a big celebration of a carnival that's held at the picnic grounds with a parade. And an occasional church will have revival or maybe have a bake sale. That's the talk of the valley. But there's no movie theaters there. There's no malls. No big box stores to shop in. You have to drive over the mountain and either north or south to the nearest city for those pleasures. And then most people who live there have to drive quite a distance for a decent paying job. It might be easy for them to miss all the blessings that they see each day that are right in front of them, but they certainly could count them, especially now being autumn. Autumn, it's such a great time of the year. Great time of the year to count one's blessings. We are surrounded by the harvest. Gardens and fields have yielded their more than what they have sown. Yesterday I picked some more tomatoes in our little patch. But you know, we need not wait till November or wait till a Thanksgiving holiday to give thanks. We have much to give thanks for. The bounty of the harvest. It's autumn. Praise God for his many blessings for us. I want to encourage you today to count your blessings and not your sorrows. Count your blessings and not your sorrows, as Job did. There's an old saying, it says, count your blessings, not your troubles. Count your blessings, not your troubles. I came across some quotes that talk about counting blessings. I thought they'd be interesting to share. One is, the life that counts blessings discovers it's yielding more than it seems. D.J. Jakes, who is a preacher, says, the true blessings of life are the treasures hidden in the reservoirs of the human heart. Another person has said, simple blessings are all around us. Once we receive them with thanksgiving and appreciation, we experience true joy. When you practice counting your blessings, you will be amazed how many there are. As you're riding on the bus or walking through the zoo or shopping for groceries, there are countless blessings that are in full view for you to recognize and acknowledge. Charles Dickens said, reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, on which all men have some. Willie Nelson said, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. Another person says, always count the blessings in your life. Never take them for granted. People spend so much time thinking about what they don't have that they miss enjoying what they do have. One person said, when I count my blessings, I count you twice. Robert Bly says, count your blessings is such a common expression that it has become a catchphrase. Yet it contains powerful truth and meaning. Be careful that you're not grateful. Be grateful for what you have, if what you don't have. Another person says, better to lose counting while naming your blessings than to lose your blessings to counting your troubles. I like that one. Better to lose counting while naming your blessings than to lose your blessings to counting your troubles. Another person says, whenever I count my blessings, I find myself becoming more grateful because the good things of life outweigh the not so pleasant things that are happening in my life. And another person that says, the secret of happiness is to count your blessings while others are adding up their troubles. Two little poems I came across says, count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. And another person says, when day is done and I lay in bed, I feel God's blessing upon me spread. If you are restless and cannot sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep. Well, Job literally did both, because when he counted his blessings, he was counting his sheep, 14,000 to be exact. Our scripture for today is the end of the story of Job, a servant of God, and it took place about 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. We usually think of suffering when we hear his name, but I'd like for us to consider the end of the story. The blessing that Job received. We're told that he received a double-fold blessing of God on him. Verse 10 says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Well, how do we know that that's true? Well, the writer of this book wanted to make sure that was the point. And so he begins the book and he ends the book by counting blessings. Notice what he wrote here for us. Right at the beginning, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Let's see. Job 1. Right off, we're told that Job, who he is, and the children that he has. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And so Job was quite wealthy, one of the most wealthiest persons at that time. And then notice at the end here, the end of the book, this is on page 616. So, the Lord restored Job's losses. When he prayed for his friends, indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 4,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they're named here as well. They were some of the fairest women of the land, and he gave them all of his children inheritance. And this Job lived 140 years after the incident of the book, and he saw his children and his grandchildren to 4 generations. Isn't that amazing? The blessing of God. We are told that the writer of this book may have been Moses. We're not exactly sure, but someone recorded this, and this was what they was one of the points of the book. Not about Job's suffering, but the point of the book is how much God blessed him. And so Jewish tradition has it Moses wrote these things down. It was passed down. Now, if you lived during this time, you lived another 140 years, you're able to pass these things on verbally. Some things might have been written down in a book, but it was Moses who had the education and the skill to be able to bring all these things together and finally to write them down. To count your blessings seems easy enough, but you know, we often fail to do it, don't we? And especially when trials come up, when things get in the way, when we get busy, we tend to forget what we have. We're only focusing on maybe what we don't have or the difficulty that's at hand. But notice that in this book, God brags to Satan that Job was a blameless and upright man. He was one who feared God and shunned evil. And when tragedy struck, Job simply said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Even his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Because she was so upset with losing her family, losing everything, her children. It would be devastating, wouldn't it? It's something to lose one child, but to lose all of your children and to lose everything. And to see Job suffering in such a way, and she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But Job couldn't do that. He simply said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, I want to encourage you to take a chance this week maybe to read the book, the story of Job again. It's a pretty easy read. And you'll find the book of Job right after or right before Psalms. And chronologically, this book really is an earlier period of time. It is probably one of the oldest books in the Bible, except for the first 11 chapters of Genesis. This is probably one of the oldest books. It is an amazing book, not just about suffering, but it is has a remarkable record of ancient wisdom and scientific accuracy. Usually it's grouped in the poetical books of the Bible between the historical and the prophetic, but it's really more like Genesis. And so read the first 11 books, 11 chapters of Genesis, and then read Job. Job gives us clues about creation. He gives us details about dinosaurs. Behemoth and Leviathan is mentioned in the scriptures here. And he talks about a need for a mediator and redeemer, which refers to Christ. There's also, I think, an important sense that Job himself is a beautiful type of Christ. And we can see a lot of striking parallels. This could be a sermon in itself. But unlike what you'll hear if you take a class on Job at the seminary, oftentimes our scholars are influenced by secular humanism and evolution and liberation theology. I think Job highlights for us more details that we can take literally. And it's not just about the why does the righteous suffer. This is, I think, a fascinating book, and it includes reflections of the primordial history of our earth. It includes insights into science and the healing message of creation. Topics in the book of Job go from trial to turmoil to triumph. And the focus of the book begins in despair, dives into debate, and then doles out a diagnosis. The dilemma of Job and the debates of Job's friends turn into the deliverance of Job because of the sovereignty of who God is as creator. And so the real purpose of the book is really a marvelous testimony to beings in heaven and to us on earth of what God can do and who he is and what he has done for us. And it's not so much an explanation of suffering as it is about just who God is as creator. I like this particular book here by Henry Morris. He was one of the founders of the creation movement. And I wanted to read what he says about the real purpose of the book of Job. The purpose underlying the book of Job seems to be twofold, one directed heavenward and the other earthward. In the first place, the whole drama had begun with Satan's challenge in heaven in the presence of all the other sons of God. Therefore, not only Satan and his demonic host, but also all the holy angels of God must have been following the developments on earth with intense interest. This, in fact, is a part of God's own purpose in the creation and redemption of men and women on earth. In the same passage that deals with the mystery of God's creation of true fellowship, as cited above, Paul notes this heavenly aspect of our testimony, and he quotes Ephesians 3, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church in manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus Job's ordeal and his faithfulness through it was a marvelous testimony not only to Satan, but also to the entire host of heaven and the glorious effectiveness of God's great plan. It provided tremendous incentive to all the holy angels to serve more faithfully themselves as ministering spirits and to the heirs of salvation. They continue to this day observing with intense interest the outworkings of God's salvation in our own lives, especially in times of stress and trouble. Of which salvations angels desire to look into, 1 Peter 1:10 and 12. Those who have already gone from this life to be with the Lord also are probably deeply concerned observers of our lives on earth. And then he quotes Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Job's record also had an important earthward testimony, as evidenced by God's magnificent four-chapter message at its conclusion. This message, which says nothing about Job's sufferings, nor about the observing host in heaven, dealt instead with God's great creation and his providential care over it. Thus, here at the beginning of God's gracious gift of divine revelation to man, in the ancient book of Job, God again stressed the importance of the creation he had first revealed in the opening chapters of Genesis. In Job's day, most nations were readily drifting away from monotheistic creationism into pantheism, polytheistic, evolutionary humanism. Even though Job and his friends still believed in God and frequently referred to his creation, God intended the need for a much stronger emphasis to keep the still believing remnant from drifting into pagan evolutionism. That being the case, we can refer that a still stronger emphasis on creation is needed today. when the intellectual establishments of almost every nation have reputed it and evolution reigns supreme in the schools, media, sciences, and political institutions. Today, as in communist nations, blatant atheism often is legislated. The ancient pantheistic evolutionism still dominates much ethnic religions, as in Hinduism, Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, and Animism. Even in such nominal monotheistic nations and faiths as is Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, evolutionary humanism and practical atheism still seems to control the thinking of their leaders. Most alarming of all, perhaps, is that even those Christian institutions still giving nominal allegiance to Christ and to biblical authority have largely allowed it to be undermined by such unbiblical and unscientific compromises as theistic evolution and progressive creationism. The need, therefore, for worldwide revival of the doctrine of real creation and a personal creator God is great. God's urgent message to Job and his contemporaries is more vital now than ever before. This was written about 2 decades ago. More evident and vital than ever before. And so when we consider what is taking place in our nation, the roots that we see have been sown many years before. A need for the emphasis on creation. You know, I remember hearing stories of, missionaries in various parts of the world, and some who have gone into areas in Africa where maybe some certain tribes have not heard the gospel before. They began trying to share the gospel about Jesus dying on the cross, and the natives just weren't connecting. They didn't understand the need for why did this guy have to die on the cross. And so they went back and began at the beginning and started telling the story of God creating the world and what has happened, the fall into sin. And then they began to understand and comprehend the need then for a Savior. They had to understand the problem of sin in order to come to a realization that they needed a Savior, that they were sinners. And so we need to continue to emphasize, I think, these in our areas. We're sharing with people. We need to take people back to Genesis. We need to take people back to the beginning and understand why we need a Savior. You know, we're told to count our blessings here, and Job did that. The writer of the book of Job here points out what he had before, and he points out then what he had at the end. And it was exactly twice as much. Isn't that like God? To God to do those kinds of things. And so to count our blessings. And this is a fairly well-known idiom. It is, I think, made popular, we may not know, by music, by poetry. A poet by the name of John Charles Earle posted a poem with this title, Count Your Blessings, in 1878. And it became widespread enough at that time that by the 1880s, then, it was considered something of a proverb. And then in 1897, the hymn that we sang at the beginning of the service came into being. And so I'd like for you to turn back to that hymn again. It's number 516 in your hymnal. I'd like for you to think about this hymn. And I also want you to encourage you to know how the Spirit moves. And so I didn't tell Jerry to suggest this as a hymn, but he, through the leading of the Spirit, picked it out, and we sang it at the beginning of the service. And so I want you to notice the verses here in this hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempted tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, or whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. This hymn certainly ranks up there with one of the more familiar hymns for us. And it was, I think, probably introduced to us when we were in Sunday school. We probably sang this one with a lot of gusto. And we usually sing it sometimes during revivals and during our worship services. The author of this particular hymn was Reverend Johnson Ottman. And it was an important one that became into American society in the late 1900s and the early 20th century. Ottman was born in Bedford, New Jersey on April the 21st in 1856. And as a child, he was acquainted with hymns through the church by the singing talents of his father. And so at the age of 19, he joined the Methodist Church. And several years later, was granted a license to preach in local Methodist congregations. It is said that he wrote over 5,000 hymns, but probably this one was the most well-known and considered to be his finest hymn. Published again in 1897, it has been sung around the world. They say that no American hymn was received with so much enthusiasm in Great Britain as this particular hymn, Count Your Blessings. And it is also known as one of the favorite hymns of the Welsh Revival. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And so instead of counting our sorrows, instead of counting our troubles, which lead to discouragement, we're encouraged to count our blessings, which will lead to joy. To see what God has done, when we begin to realize how many blessings there are. Now, I was tempted when I was preparing this sermon to get a roll of toilet paper and write on all the different sheets, different blessings, and then throw it out and down the aisle, but I wasn't sure if that would work. So I ran out of time and I didn't do that. But we might need that, right? So then I thought, well, maybe a roll of paper towels would work. It'd be a little stronger or something. But anyway, we didn't get to that. We did something else instead. But God will bless the faithful. And so when we hear the name Job, I hope we just automatically go to the word suffering. Maybe we should go to the word blessing instead. Because it ends here that Job was a blameless and upright man who feared God and shunned evil. And Satan was trying to get under God's skin, if you will. And God was bragging a little bit that day. And have you, you know, you've been going to and fro across the earth. Have you seen anyone better than my friend here, Job? Job is a wonderful example of a godly person. And so then the test came, and the tragedy struck, the suffering was endured, and through it all, Job simply said, "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so while he was going through great tragedy and suffering and lost everything, God then blessed him and restored to him not just what he had, but twice as much, a double blessing. And we're not promised a double blessing in this life. We have a lot of promises in the scriptures. There's a lot of things that we can look forward to in the heavenly realm. We have spiritual blessings that abound, but we're not promised double material blessings. But when we do count the blessings that we have, we're surprised. We're amazed. And so we don't want to let the enemy discourage us. These are trying times in which we live. But we don't need to focus on the negative. We want to focus on the positive. Don't let our sorrows and our troubles get us down, but instead we want to encourage each other and to remind each other of the many blessings that we do have. You know, we live in probably the most prosperous nation in the world. Our level of standard of living is the highest. There are many, many people in the world today who struggle just to get enough to eat and enough to drink for that day. And so we are so blessed. And when we count our blessings, we will see what God has done. And I suspect that if we really did count them all, we would probably have twice as much as when we first began. We probably have more than twice enough. Twice than when we first believed. Twice the blessings that God has for us. And yet, we have so many more waiting for us when we cross over. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a simple message, but I think it's one that we need not to wait for Thanksgiving for. To count our blessings, to give thanks, to recognize how much we have, and to be grateful. One of the things that Pat wanted to make a little something to give you, and she thought tied in with the sermon today, and so this is a blessing pumpkin that we made yesterday, and it's got 7 blessings on it. It says Jesus, church, food, health, family, friends, home, and there's one that's blank. And so we'd like for you to set this out on your table or somewhere and you see it each day. And you could just write one more blessings of your own on there. But we thought if you leave that blank, each time you look at it and see it, you could think of a different blessing. And see how many blessings that you can count and come up with. And so as you're leaving today, Pat will greet you at the door and hand you one of these and I encourage you to think about the blessings that you have. We gave you the first 7 to start you off with, but we will hopefully, there we go. Hopefully that will be a little visual reminder to count your blessings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we blessed?
Amen.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Let us pray. Creator God, you are awesome in power and provision, and there is nothing that you can't do, nothing that you can't provide. And so, living Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us beyond measure. We have so many blessings to count. Thank you, God, for salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Thank you, God, for life, for breath, for health, for mental awareness, vision and hearing, mobility. Thank you, God, for family, parents and siblings and spouse and children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren for some. God, thank you for friends, for best friends, for neighbors and co-workers, acquaintances. Thank you, God, for provisions and protection and possessions. For our homes, whether they're owned or rented. For this country in which we were born and in which we live. Thank you, God, for freedoms and privileges and opportunities that many do not have. For transportation by car or bus or train or plane. Thank you for church family. For these and so many more, God, we give thanks. You are the author of them all. Help us, Lord, not only to count, to be aware, but to share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we close our service with number 444. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.